weird insects, barnyard animal torture, and Mark still hates VR. Next on Android App Addicts. To Android App Addicts episode 519. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, whatever else happens to float our boats. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week, as always, are the people you're really here to hear from. The door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, the politician, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Hey, I thought we'd change it up today and do it backwards. Let's start out with apps right off the bat, and then useless
an
babble.
An app show talking about it? I don't understand. I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. Just
we'll just let Dorsey
we'll
say
see,
hello
just
first.
To mix it up. No, yeah, I'll let Dorsey.
No, he doesn't have to. It is disruption. I'm a fan of disruption. I'm not going to slow.
Let's say hello, door. Bring
actually,
an app.
No,
what's your first app?
I'm even going to disrupt your disruption. I'm going to start with an email.
Okay.
Whoa.
Oh, dang! That's spontaneous. Go
so Adam
it.
Writes in, hi, Mark, Eric, and Dore. It's Adam, the over-to-pond geek again with another of my occasional game recommendations. This time it's a point-and-click adventure game called Botanicula. However, this is no secret of Monkey Island. Instead of Guybrush Threepwood, you play as a collection of insects and seed pods exploring a giant tree which is under threat from a scary sap-sucking spider. There's no text in the entire game, which originates out of the Czech Republic, which makes this sort of game accessible to younger children. I'm no longer sure where to find your Android App Addict spreadsheet. I used to go to Nodder's World. So I may be bringing this game down from the attic, but it's definitely worth a mention due to its originality. It costs £4 in the UK and has no in-app purchases. Best wishes, Adam the Over-the-Pond Geek. So you got both an email and
Five US dollars. And I don't think this came from the attic. I don't remember this game at all.
I don't know. I'm playing catch-up. I can tell you now. Looking at the icon alone, no. Never seen this
so before. Cool.
Everyone 10 and up, which to me is a big plus, $4.99. I'm telling you, Mark, I am so unbelievably in your camp now more than ever about app. If I go to an app and there is no money in the app, it just says install, I literally worry. I get like hesitant now because I want to pay for something up front, which to me should be some indication of overarching quality. So it should be better than most free game kind of thing. And there is a video. Which is nice.
The video usually doesn't mean it's good, but the video is really intriguing to me. It looks like a really cool looking app, a really cool looking game.
Yeah, it's a pity there's no Guybrush Threepwood, though.
Yeah.
Guybrush Threepwood. I have no idea what that is, but that was the name that he said, and I liked saying it.
So the equivalent of whatever he said it was in pence, it's $5, $4.99 in American dollars.
It's £4.
Is quid the same as pounds? And Adam, you need to let me know that. Is it, or is it like...
Quid is like saying bucks. It's a slang for the major currency of the area.
Okay, so it's £4.
But I don't think that's English. I think that's more Scottish.
Scottish?
Hey.
I'm not sure.
Hey. I don't know.
I don't know, but I will say this. This is a very long video for the game. Here's the thing here. Here's why videos typically are bad for a Play Store. Typically... the video is trying to wow you, zow you, you know what I mean, lights and things, and distract you from the actual app or the game. Typically when you have a bad game, the video consists over 80% of non-game scenes. You know what I mean? Where you want to see gameplay, and the video typically doesn't show gameplay. This video is nearly 98% to 99% gameplay, which is number one rare. You know what I mean? And it's a minute long, so you can actually get through. Then this is why I'm perplexed. Knowing it's written by somebody with Czech, there's no words in it, means it has to try to then tell its story using limited information. Basically, like it's the art of the old pixel game. The older the game you get, the more inventive the person had to get if they wanted to tell a story because of limited palette, limited resolution, limited audio, limited. And now this guy has limited speech. And his goal is to tell a story. So that alone makes me interested, I'll say. $5. I have money on my Google opinion rewards I haven't spent. So this might be it. Botanica?
Botanicula, like Dracula, but because it's a sap sucking spider.
I love you, Mark.
So Dracula, but in plants, Botanicula.
Yeah, I mean, this is an old game. It's got reviews back from 2017. They did a great job back then to keep it having legs this long.
Factmonster.com says quid is from the Latin quid pro quo, which means this for that. And so I give you a pound, you give me a thing. Therefore, it's a quid. You give me the quo.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
This is educational program, ladies and gentlemen.
I learned something today. I can go home now. See you later.
Well, good news there. You already are.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Unless you mean spiritual home. In that case, I can't help you.
Well, what you can help us with...
On my way, though.
Bring it on, brother.
Okay. I had to make sure that I properly internally bookmarked this app for myself. So in this app... Okay, Mark.
I love you.
I swear I'm not trolling you. I'm not trolling you. I wouldn't troll you. So
Can I guess before you say it?
Go ahead. You already know. I'm sure you do. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I got nothing. Go ahead.
It has a virtual reality side to it. It's but here's the thing. Here's what I don't get. Mark, I just saw the title and it said I have to bring this because I don't think Eric knows.
No, I've installed this.
Denied.
Oh, dang. Okay. I know. Firefox reality browser, fast and private, Mozilla communications, E for everyone. Completely free, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, even though it's fiddled with ads because it's a browser. 14 reviews. Eric, I hope you played with this.
I have not. I installed it, and then I reset my phone, and it was not one of them. Like, I don't believe I put it back on. But I didn't get to my VR headset in time after I installed. Let me look. I don't think it's on here.
If this is not the epitome, looking at the video, of what Mark said, I don't know what this is. This is something I could literally picture in the movie Up. Was it Up? No, not Up. Wall-E, where it's the guy just sitting there with a straw hanging out of his mouth with a cup.
Sitting on a little floating scooter.
Right.
So he doesn't have to walk.
And this is how he browses the internet. Because, you know, using a mouse and keyboard is much too difficult. So he has like a...
Yeah, so instead of just looking at a browser, you look at a poor rendition of a computer showing a browser that you have to operate, instead of with a keyboard, with a stick. How is this better?
Because it's virtual, and the screen is like floating like magic in front of this horribly pixelated link.
So why this is better is so you don't have to take your VR headset off.
You can scale
it. You don't have to take your VR headset off to go browse the web.
You can't even type.
The only thing I picture with this is Homer Simpson having to pick up a pencil to dial the phone because his fingers were too fat. Because it's a stick. That's what it is. It's literally like a stick. This is the kind of thing I honestly cannot understand. A browser in virtual reality. But Mozilla's doing it, so.
It's very similar to Netflix in virtual reality. And YouTube. Except for YouTube has 360 videos. A lot of, the Netflix app just puts you in a decent looking pixelated living room of your fantasies. And with a big screen in front of you. To watch Netflix on. I mean, you can browse through the catalog, but when you get down to playing movies, it's just a big, it's just a virtual living room that you're sitting on a virtual couch staring at.
Why do you need the couch and the living room? Why can't the screen take up your whole field of vision? Is that like nausea inducing? Is there a reason there are no such thing as a full screen VR video app?
Well, there are, like on YouTube.
YouTube
has 360 video. And you can look, turn to the right and look all the way around.
Where you can look everywhere and see everything going on in the scene. The difference is 99.99999% of where you're looking, it's useless. There's a window.
But no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about watching video, like Netflix, Plex, movie apps.
Yeah.
All right. So. All the movie apps right now, instead of just showing you a 40-foot screen, they show you a crappy living room and a sofa and a 20-foot screen. But nope.
Well, it's a big screen. No, it's maybe 20. Yeah, but what? I think it's you, that way you never have to buy a big screen TV. You could live in a locker with that on your head and basically, you know, have a straw go out the little vent holes to somebody who feeds it, and you can just sit in there and watch Netflix like you're sitting, like you really actually have a home.
And I'll say YouTube has plenty of actual 360 content. Plenty. Every second, there's over 48 hours worth of content uploaded to YouTube. I'm sure over an hour of that. Maybe an hour of that content every second is a VR stuff where you actually can see everywhere.
So Robot in the chat room says that there is such a thing as a big screen. Go watch a movie in the front row. It sucks. I don't think that's about the size. I think that's about the position. So if you could be that close but levitated up to the center of the screen, that'd be a very different experience than looking up your nose at a screen. I think that's why the front row experience is so bad. It's because you're at the bottom of the screen.
And I have sat there and my neck does kill me by the end.
Like being in the middle row of an IMAX.
Right. I mean, there has to be a reason for it. Why none of the apps that I'm aware of that play standard video in a VR give you full screen, full field of vision video.
I think the headset itself probably doesn't allow a full, you know, there's only so much room you can see at once.
It's an aspect ratio thing, maybe?
Yeah, I think the field of vision isn't that great on. I mean, the Daydream is much better as far as field of vision than the other, like the Google Cardboard and some of the older VR headsets were. They're working on it, but it's got weird concentric circles on the lenses to help with that. There's some, you know, math and optometry to be figured out.
Looking at this video here, I think it's interesting that privacy mode is monocular. By the way, it's only on the right screen instead of the left and right. But anyway, you do see that the field of vision and the goggles is nowhere near the 16:9. So that has to be the reason why that you just can't do a 16:9 image and take up the full screen. So you have to fill the field of vision with, instead of blackness, with a crappy fake living room
or mushrooms, whatever, mushrooms, you know,
whatever you got.
Right. Well, I'll say one of the maybe privacy mode. I don't know. You I had to go back. Like, okay. I don't understand that either, Mark. But one of the things that a lot of people get completely incorrect is when people try to say the real reason why we don't do VR correctly is because we don't have the resolution and latency down yet. What those people fail to even begin to comprehend is the actual resolution of the eyeball is extremely lower than a 4K television. Extremely lower. Our vision, difference between our vision and a television set, is our vision only has a small portion of it in HD at any point in time, any second of the day. And it's moving when we look around. So we only need that one spot to be of better quality.
Humans are actually mostly blind.
Yeah. So it isn't that the screen has big enough resolution. It's that the screen is not aware of our eye and where it is looking and adjusting its own resolution to fit where we're looking. And so they're trying to cover up the entire verse. That we can see. So
when you use a...
To me, it's a failing concept.
And there's always been when you, in the past too, when you've used a VR headset, you can see the individual pixels because you're so close to an LCD screen or a OLED screen. I mean, even with the super Giga Retina I have or whatever it's called on a Pixel 2 phone, I can still see pixels when it's magnified and that close to my face. So, you don't get it's not ideal. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we have another 20 years of it being novelty status, and we're going to have special, unique circumstances where it's going to fit, I think, and make sense. But it's not going to hit like a true mass appeal thing, I don't think, for years and years and years, at least in reality's sake.
I really think it's got the size of the unit on your face needs to get down to, it needs to be like wearing sunglasses or less.
But wait, okay.
But still get it done.
Clip that. The size of the unit on your face. Just clip that.
Show title.
Well, have you seen...
I think the show title should be called Sunglasses or Less.
I don't know. But have you seen, Eric, the Nintendo Switch? A third-party company said that they're going to make a device on, I think it's Kickstarter or Indiegogo, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've heard it on many podcasts because, you know, I subscribe to 140 podcasts. It sounds ridiculous. They have the Switch screen... And the further something is from your face, from your eyeballs, the heavier it's going to feel. Mm-hmm. That's physics. That's leverage. That's gravity. That's motion. That's how it's going to feel. And the thing is not right up against your face. It's farther away. So it's going to feel like a ton. Back in the day when they had a system like that, they literally had a counterweight on the back of the helmet to try to compensate for the weight.
We just need some kind of an anchoring point implanted in the back of our head that we can, you know, it's got a threaded...
Lasers right on the eyeball.
That would actually work. What you have to do is you have to bypass the screen altogether. You have to hijack the nervous system. And painting lasers on the retina would do the job, or, you know, somehow jacking into the optic nerve.
I think OLED contact lenses can't be that far off. As a curved screen, we got that down. Small. I mean, if you look at your contact lenses really closely, there's little letters and numbers printed right on each one of them that you never see. So it's got, I mean, all you got to do is inject some OLED in there, light it up, you know, use...
flexible enough. But yeah.
We just have to use it.
Yeah, the gimmick with our lenses is the amount that they let breathe through them is remarkable. When we first made contact lenses, they didn't breathe really at all. So literally, like every, I think it was 2 or 3 days, it was less than a week, you had to throw them away because they would turn cloudy.
Could we recharge the batteries in our contact lenses by just the action of us blinking? The blinking motion, capture the energy from the up and down like they do tidal waves.
Some kind of wireless cancer-inducing electricity.
Oh, yeah, wireless. Yeah, you just wear a hat, a baseball hat that induces battery charges into your contacts all day. That's
can just irradiate your brain even more than you already are.
What does that Kickstarter.com start?
It might help some of us. This is 2018. Let me tell you something. I'm all for it. It could help some people.
It could help Mark stop downing VR all the time. I'm in it just for that.
Actually, it might. You're a very good
when there's good VR, I'll admit that it's good VR. I hadn't seen it yet.
That's it. We had to modify his judgment. You're on point, Eric. Good man. That's the only solution because I don't think any of us are going to live that.
All right, Eric, bring us an app, my friend.
Okay, this app is, you know what? I'm going to bring this one, actually. We're going to go all the way 360 on this. Or 180. We're just going to go 180 because it's still a game. And that last one, no, it is 360 because that last one wasn't a game either. This is called 8-Bit Water Slide by Ancient Games DS. Dora, this is 8-bit.
Okay,
it's a side-scrolling running game where you jump, you slide, and you, it's kind of a combination of jumping and sliding where you break through the next level. It's just a weird-looking game. Probably not too kid-friendly because it really...
I wonder why.
Well, the thing that's really not kid-friendly is when you mess up, it's very insulting. It really takes you down a level with the things it says to you for messing up.
Okay. Really quick, Eric, this ain't 8-bit. This is closer to almost 32-bit.
I know. That's what they call it.
They just think 8-bit is cool, so they call
it. I think the guy running, maybe 8-bit.
So this is an endless runner type game where you're on like a water slide nonstop.
Yep. Parts of the water slide are glass and they'll crack under your feet. You got to keep above that. It just happens to be chainsaws or circular saws and things in your way the whole time. You got to avoid.
At one time, he's on fire.
And one time, he uses farts for propulsion too. I haven't got to that part yet, but I'm not that good. It's not that easy.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess this is not an OSHA-approved water slide.
The whole point that it's pipes, yet your head is still sticking out the top. And I got to agree with you.
Hollow pipes?
Does OSHA really approve water slides, though? It's not really a job. Occupational hazards is more what they're into. The installation of a water slide at a park. They would probably be all over that.
So, Eric, it wasn't that good a joke to begin with, and you just sucked whatever goodness out of it that was there.
I suck. What can I just say, you know? Okay. Hey, I don't want to take your job away from you, but Dory, you got an app. Save me from this one. We got to get away from here.
Well, okay, but this is a weird app, I will say this. This is a weird app because I used to be on top of this, ridiculously. And I had a good friend, Knucklehead Tech, talk to me about this today. And I'm sitting there for like the first like 3 minutes. What are you talking about? What do you mean? What he showed me today, and I'm going to, I'm going to get a link to this too. It's a piece of hardware. Docking stations. I don't know if you guys know this, but docking stations have completely changed in the last, 3 or 5 years.
For laptops or for your phone or what, or in general?
For laptops, they're now completely different. They don't exist anymore. Back when we did it, docking stations used to be like things you would clip into, and then there would be the laptop would smush into it perfectly, and it would form fit like the dock they have now, and then you would connect your laptop to it and roll. Well, now docking stations are look much more like modems or routers.
Yes.
It's like a, yeah, they're, to me, they're very weird. I'm trying to get this link to this one. Yeah. SD3500V, Kensington.
So you don't have to buy a dock anymore specifically for that kind of laptop anymore. You can, you,
yes, nice. They're, and that's one of the things that they try to say, that they're universal docks, which of course makes no sense. It's not a docking station then. But okay, here's the gimmick. The app I put in the show here, the app is called
Display Link Presenter.
Thank you. Display Link Presenter. Any Android, even like 5.0 and up. I mean, this can work on 3-plus-year-old hardware is what I'm finding out. Not every piece of hardware, but a lot of pieces of hardware. You plug, you install this app on your Android device, tablet, whatever, phone. Then you physically plug it in via USB to the docking station, typically USB 3. I do believe that USB-C, you just power it over to the cable, and then it will basically work. And then you can just load the app, hit a button, and bam, you have full-blown Android on a full-screen monitor without any special hardware needed. Back in the day, you needed to have MHL on your Android device. That was a specific chip in the USB host controller that enabled it to display video over HDMI. It was HDMI over USB. Now it's all in software. And I got to tell you guys, I like the idea of this a lot. I'm not saying I'm going to get one today or tomorrow or whatever, but what I will say is I like the idea of this a lot, where all you need is Android 5 and up. You go on eBay, you can find these for less than $50, like $40 kind of thing, where if you don't go to the right place, you're spending like $150 on the high end for these devices. Kensington SD3500V.
When do you want to put Android on your computer screen?
Well, that's the thing. I think there are use cases for it. I don't think they're everybody, but I think there are use cases for it where, like, I want my kid to be on a computer that I have complete control over and that is safer than your average Windows installation kind of computer, where I know my kid's only going to want to access these two or three things.
So the obvious follow-up now is with the recent news that came out this week of Windows 10 having this exact functionality baked in now with the latest update. You can run Android right off your phone, screen mirroring right to Windows 10 without any hardware.
Well, you need your Windows computer.
Right. So,
and, you know, I'll say this. I don't have a Windows computer. I technically have one in my backpack now, but I'm not hooking anything up to that thing because that's a surefire way to be in trouble where I work, is what I'll say. So,
you got some administrative things going on in the background.
Oh, if I wanted to, I could easily have root on the laptop and do whatever I want. But I don't want to. I want to be a good boy. So it, to me, if it's a $300 plus laptop or computer or an $80 one of these, it's an $80 one of these. But if I already had a Windows computer, I would probably just find a way to use that.
Robot in the chat room does say that he would use it with us because he could use a stylus. And like on the note, but on a much bigger screen for drawing. That's a good point. You know,
that could work.
Drawing and designing on a bigger screen.
Well, the only issue I'll say I know of is there's no automatic scaling or resolution modification. If the monitor you're plugging it up to has upscaling features, aka an expensive monitor, then you can turn your phone sideways or tablet sideways and almost probably get full screen. I'm guessing still not going to get full screen because there's no way the aspect ratios will line up perfectly. And I don't know if you want to stretch it, but I know in portrait mode, like I saw two huge parts of the screen that were not lit and it was just literally in the middle of the screen. To me, that looked very unappealing is what I'll say. I think it does have a use case. I don't think it's great unless there's more functionality baked in where Windows is controlling it from that side. It has to be better than BlueStacks, is my logic. Because BlueStacks, after, I don't even know, 6 years, is still horrible.
And screen mirroring on the Chromecast works like that, too. If you've got it in portrait mode, you just see basically a phone on your TV. And then when you flip it sideways into landscape, it does at least, it goes full screen on the Chromecast.
So does this give you, I'm sorry,
well, I'll
does this give you a full keyboard and mouse interface now with this device and this software? Or do you still have to touch the phone and just see it on the screen?
Well, this display link presenter, you can then plug up a keyboard mouse to the hub and use a keyboard mouse and have your phone or tablet sitting there doing nothing if you want. Or you can literally, I think, have the display mirrored to where you can interact with your phone or tablet with your hands and your fingers and then have it up on the screen.
That's a $29 Chromecast if you want to do that. If all you want is a big screen for your phone, Chromecast.
Well, I'll say this. Every time I use Chromecast, A, extreme lag. Two, there's no ports, there's no plugs, there's no nothing going wrong with it. With this, you get multiple USB 3 ports, multiple USB 2 ports. You can hook up mass storage devices as well and have it easily accessible through the interface. There's other physical things you can connect to it. Depending on your version of Android, you can also connect physical Ethernet up to it and have that recognized to it. That has to be baked into the kernel, so that has a lower probability. But there are plenty of USB-type dongles where if you plug it up, the base Android will pick it up. You'll probably not get faster than 100 meg, but you can definitely also get full network speeds from the hub as well. And yes, Chromecast is functional, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same thing. It's like the new thing that I got completely wrong, Yeti. Did you guys hear about that?
Only the drink.
The gaming console.
The game experience on Google, yes.
So is there news about it?
Yeah, and I got it completely wrong.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
I swore it'd be like a set-top box that you can play off of. No, they're doing it even smarter for them.
I did
it's
hear
going
this,
to be
yes.
only on certain Chromebooks that they specifically pick. They will enable it for free, the ability to play Assassin's Creed, the next game when it comes out, via your Chrome browser. And they're going to do all the computing processing power back on their server.
Did you sign up for that? So,
you have to own the right Chrome.
I was able to sign up for it. I'm in the line.
You're not going to get it.
Probably not going to get it. Well, I can buy a Chromebook.
You're going to have to spend over $1,000 on the hardware in order to do it in the beginning, which is, for them, genius, because then they literally control the entire stack from beginning to end, and they can pace it out as quick as they want, because we've seen other companies try this in the past. We've seen at least, I don't know, 6 other companies have tried to do streaming game playing.
And it worked somewhat. It worked better than you would expect. You know, and kind of like the first time you used a wireless joystick on an Xbox. You know, after years of being wired, you're like, wow, this actually works.
Well, you say that, but I actually saw Atari 2800 wireless joysticks when I was a kid. Okay. And I was shocked they worked. I said, but yes. When I came into modern gaming, I swore these wireless controllers were going to lag, unusable, can't do it. Real players use wires. But I'm wrong. But this Chrome thing that they're doing, it isn't, okay, it might be using Android, but it's going to be on Chrome OS's kind of thing. They're going to be able to control it from beginning to end, and right at the very beginning, do a comprehensive speed test, latency test to see how you're doing, and literally advise you. You know, you might not get the best experience while playing it on this, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? They're going to be able to control that from the beginning. That's what other people didn't have. Other people were trying to say you could just do it in your own browser. You could just do it in this. And the hardware that they had was extremely cheap. Google is pulling an Apple and making it crazily expensive hardware. Crazily expensive hardware for you to have the privilege of playing this game first without a, you know, $400 console. You're going to pay twice as much and play it on streaming. I hate streaming.
So it's actually called Project Stream is the name of it. It's not Yeti anymore.
Right. Yes. Yeah, but I'll say as every day goes on, I am utterly against streaming games now because you're going to lose history. We already have examples of this. We can go out and buy an old Atari 2800 console and cartridges, put them in and play them. Okay. You can play old games. They're streaming. You can't. And the first example I know is Super NES back in the day had a cartridge in Japan that had a modem on it where they streamed 2 Legend of Zelda games, which was actually 8 shows in each, where you had to be on the console at the right time of day. The game got streamed to you, and essentially the game was lost for 30 years.
I never heard of that.
It's Legend of Zelda Stone Tablets, like Secret of the Stone Tablet, something like that, where now they've pieced it together as best they can, but there are certain events that were happening only at certain time, that one time. So literally, back in that year, at 8 p.m. on that day, if you were not playing, this event did not happen. And if you were, it only happened to you. And then they would have replays like in 2 weeks where they would replay the same series to where you could play it again if you wanted to. But it was literally like a televised event, but a video game. I don't like streaming games. It's bad for everybody except the people making money.
So I did go ahead and put the link to where people can sign up for the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It says for requirements, it says that you're a U.S. resident, 17 or older, a computer with reliable internet access. We'll test it for you. A controller or mouse and keyboard to play, and a Google account, a Ubisoft account, and Chrome. This is the requirements.
Well, if the Play Store is any indicator, hear me now, believe me later. We have seen games come into our show, apps come into our show that say it's not compatible with a device. Wait a week, wait 2 weeks, wait a day sometimes, and bang, it's all of a sudden compatible and it installs. They're going to have such a slow, controlled rollout of this. I expect it literally only being Chrome Pixel books. The question is how long? A couple of days, a couple of weeks, maybe 2 months while they build up infrastructure? I don't know, but this is game-breaking is what I'll say. And Assassin's Creed, I love listening to people who don't know anything about the games saying this is a perfect game, perfect game to do on this kind of platform. And then when they try to say why, they can't because they don't know what the game is like.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask you why.
Well, there's two main types of Assassin's Creed games. One type is like Assassin's Creed Origins, where it's a very combat-heavy game, where timing is probably a little bit more important. Then there's the mission-type Assassin's Creed games, which are a little bit different. Yes, timing is important, but they could like load, because in Chrome browser, we have cache. Well, the data store that came out 2 years ago or whatever that not many people seem to be using, where you can do like Google Drive offline in the Chrome browser, the data store. There's a whole bunch of stuff built into that browser, okay? So they'll be able to like bulk download, burst download when they can and save things. But if it's, you know what I mean, huge, like Origins, that's going to be difficult to stream no matter what.
So
with the money Google has and the Chinese chips that they have. Yeah.
Robot in the chat room's got it down, man. He's got a Samsung Chromebook Pro, Xbox One controller, Google Fiber. He might be a candidate. No?
Pro. I'll bet you right now $50 Pro won't do it.
No.
It is all going to come down to the processor. You have to have the right processor. And like, for instance, the new Slate book is like an i7.
Yeah. But did they give prices on that?
You tell me. I think $1,200.
That sounds about right.
Maybe they're, to go back to what Dora was saying, maybe they're not. It's not so processor important because they're doing like what PlayOn used to do, where they gave you a terminal
Play
session,
on, yeah.
Right? Maybe that's how they're doing it. Google definitely has the storage and the databanks and the processing power to run the session on their servers and simply stream it just the bits to your desktop, and that would not require much processor at all. That's why all you need is good bandwidth and Chrome. Because this doesn't say anything about PC specs
eventually,
at all.
Eventually. But yeah, but it doesn't. But I agree with Dor. They can control exactly how and when this rolls out and make sure everything's perfect before it goes to the next group of devices.
And look, I'm not trying to compete with old timers like Leo Laporte or Larry Maggot. Okay. Those guys are those guys. And I'm not trying to compete with the, you know, sub 30-year-olds that know nothing about technology and talk about it. But here's how it is. Here's how it's going to go. Edge computing. Edge computing is going to decide how successful this endeavor is or not is. Edge computing is Google taking that baseline infrastructure and pushing it as far out of their data centers as possible, which means they're going to have like cooperatives with ISPs and other people closer to the customer to where they can at least put some sort of equipment in there. Doesn't need to be big. Doesn't need to be powerful. Look at the Netflix model.
Yeah.
The amount of hardware they actually have dispersed is inconsequential to the amount of traffic they carry because it's just caching. It's intelligent caching. But edge computing means a little bit more than just caching. And that's what's going to decide how successful this damn thing is or not. And here's the thing. I don't know. I know this. Google's been pretty damn successful the last couple of years when they've been trying to do things. The only company more successful in the last couple of years is Amazon.
And Google owns enough data centers in enough locations that they could be the edge. Right.
And dark fiber.
The edge computers could be their own servers that they own that are just geographically local.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And that's the thing. Like, smart, responsive dispersal of information and coordinated. Because here's the thing. Streaming, it will be huge. Multiplayer streaming, that's where the money's at. Take a look at Fortnite. Over $2 million a day. Oh, Google likes money.
They can't keep selling ads forever.
Well, they're going to have to shift, or they're going to become like GE. Has anyone heard about GE? They've went below. They're now considered a penny stock.
They make some
G friggin' E.
They make nice keyboard trays and Bluetooth speakers that are 2 inches by 2 inches.
They're still a huge player in medical imaging.
Well, they just fired their CEO. I was only there for 15 months. They lost 50% stock value in that 15 months, and they're still losing money. They're losing, they're hemorrhaging money so fast, it's ridiculous. Where if they don't pivot, they are going to not exist because they're reliant on everybody else. That's G's problem. They always do parts of technologies. They never do complete stacks of technology. They rely on other people. So pivot or die. And Google should preemptively try to pivot because death in computers seem to come quickly. You know what I mean? Which might be a good thing. I don't know. I mean, I figured this out. What's the best way to die?
It's better to burn out than fade away.
Best way to die is with the highest of the high intensity gamma ray burst.
Oh.
Not like Incredible Hulk, but gamma ray burst, because literally you instantaneously disintegrate into nothing. Can't feel pain if there's nothing there.
That'd be
there.
Burning out then. So that has That'd to be burning out.
That has to be the best way to die, I'm just saying.
I think the best way to die is just go to sleep and not wake up. That seems a lot easier.
I agree. Well, I'll tell you this. That little bit of burn.
98% of the time when people died in hospitals in their sleep, they didn't. They woke up and died a agonizing death for a couple minutes before dying.
So I'm going to call BS on that statistic.
Go ahead.
Call.
Again.
How could you possibly know that? How can anybody possibly know that?
They did.
By looking at the stats. It is never beep, 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 beep. And then it's never
but you,
that.
You embellished a good. There was a lot of editorializing that. Woke up for seconds and died an agonizing death. You have no concept of the pain.
All of their sensors showed that they were awake. And I know the only time where they have eyewitness, like walking into the room as it's happening, said the person was sitting up, might not
when
have been conscious.
When I get up at 2 in the morning to pee, I'm technically awake, but I don't remember it the next day. You know, so there's a big difference between awake and conscious.
That makes one of us.
So let me read an email from Benjamin, who calls it over-caffeinated ramblings. So just wanted to,
I was
just wanted to say thanks
email.
For the show. It's still my favorite show to play once I see a new download. I'm back on board with Patreon. Thanks for that. Our move from Illinois to Wisconsin is long over and things are going well. I've gotten back into my long-distance trail running, which is kind of therapy my brain needs, and I get some podcast time in. After these Midwest storms, the mosquitoes are freaking horrible, and it makes me hate the outdoors. I wish I had some new or novel something new or novel to suggest for apps, but I don't think I have anything new. I mean, I have enjoyed one called the Trail Run Project by REI, and try to find outdoorsy things, but that's nothing new or earth-shattering. And I've been using Lose It as well for about 4 months. I hate counting calories, but it's amazing what it's done. I lost around 40 pounds, and my wife has done well, too. I've been using this password app for a long time, Password Safe. That's PASSWD, Safe. It's touted as a secure and open source, and it's a Linux, Windows, Android program. And I like it, except I've started to get weird database duplicate errors. I have a ton of conflicted copy saves in my Google Drive, and now I suspect I'm losing data somehow. And no fingerprint utilization makes me look elsewhere. But from a security standpoint, I always felt it was a solid offering, but perhaps outdated slightly. I suppose a question, a topic of sorts, if you want to toss this around for a minute or not. I'm lucky to be able to travel to Europe soon, way too soon to be prepared. Most of what I know I've learned from TV and porn movies, so I'm sure it's all accurate. Any alternate offline translation apps I should be aware of? I know well about Google Translate, and you can download the language in advance, but is there a better one I haven't heard of, or a supplemental one, something I haven't heard of about for traveling abroad? I tried to find the app list, but apparently lost the bookmark and or forgotten how to Google properly. Anyway, thanks, guys, for everything. I am typically silent, but love the work. So, Dor, that's two people that said they don't know where to find the show list, and I'm a host, and I don't know where to find that. So maybe you could tell us all where that is.
Okay. Pause the show. go to your podcast
Hold
player.
On. Wait, click I, got, on the wait icon, I gotta hit pause. Hold on.
And, and it's going to be in the notes because I got to put it in the notes now. Sorry. There's no easy way for it. Here's the main reason why. Every place I put a hard link to it, most people don't realize this about Google, Google Drive. They cycle through link algorithms where the link that you share from a Google Doc can, in 6 months or maybe up to 3 years, I've seen it, before it will change and no longer work. It's because they changed their back end and engine of where links point to, kind of thing. So, and everywhere where the link was at, now dead. Doesn't work anymore. So I'll make sure that every episode, I'll copy the link from the doc itself.
I have a suggestion for you, Dor. I have used this myself. Make a Google site, sites.google.com. Embed the spreadsheet in the site. The URL for that never changes, and the linking is always works. Super easy. Takes about 3 minutes.
Good tip. That's a pro tip from Mark right there. You know, I don't know. My link may have changed a couple times over the years, but maybe only a couple times over the years.
Yeah. I mean, that link, it is slower to change. Literally, that's why I said like 3 years. It took a while, especially for the first time, for it to change. Yeah. But yeah, good thinking, Mark. I will say this. I love the fact that people complain about it because it shows, A, that they're listening. I ain't gonna lie. I was afraid to open up the email called Overcaffeinated Ramblings. And look, sorry, I've talked already too much this episode, but Mark, you commented about 2 weeks ago, said that I was looking svelte or whatever. I'll just put it like this. Apparently, the better that people think I look, the worse I've been like feeling or kind of thing. Because I saw that email, I literally couldn't open it. Overcaffeinated Ramblings, oh crap. Ben's mad. I made Ben mad. So I literally didn't open the email.
So you're feeling worse as people think you look better?
I don't know if correlation, causation, I don't know. But I just know that I don't feel great. And I saw that email and I said, I can't open an email. What if he said something bad?
Because now suddly you're sensitive?
So it's not a physical feeling of badness. It is like a sensitivity to criticism. I don't know
either. And it's me.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, if we're going to go to a meetup sometime, Dor, I don't want you like wussing out on me. Like, dude, I don't want to go outside. Eric, there's mosquitoes.
Fine. You want to, I'll say this. Okay. If you notice, I haven't gone to a lot of events here in the last like couple years.
Yeah. I've been with you at
a couple.
I never went too many before though.
Okay. Well, you notice that I disappear every now and then.
Well, yeah, whatever you do after 3 a.m., I just can't hang, so I have to go pass out somewhere.
Well, I disappear, I know you do, once you in a do. While, and it's I've had people ask me if I'm going to do drugs or some kind of sexually explicit thing. No, it's typically I'm going to, like, cry or emotional release kind of thing because it's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure and a lot of social things that
it's called being an introvert. For you, being with people takes energy. And you have to get away to get that energy.
True. That's true. Yeah, you got to recharge yourself up.
For me, being with people gives me energy. I am more energized when I'm with people. I'm an extrovert.
Have you ever done the Myers-Briggs door?
And hell no. No, because it's all garbage. But here's the thing. What I tried to understand, Mark, and I can't. 30 years of my life, couldn't speak to anybody about anything ever. Okay, period. The introvert of introvert of introverts. I tried to explain to my boss, I would be more comfortable right now being asked to go on a stage with 300 or 3,000 people in front of me and asked to speak on a topic, because at least then I'm in a position of authority where people are, you know, should listen to me. There's a reason to listen to me. When I'm just at an event, walking up to somebody, hi, why are they listening to me? I'm an idiot.
But you're a lovable
idiot. So I don't like it at all. And at work, same thing. Unless I'm in a position of authority, don't ask me to say anything. I won't say anything. I won't.
Yeah, I don't get that. I can accept my position as that dude's like, hi. I mean, honestly, I am that dude as well. But
I'm the guy that everybody hates that talks on elevators. I'll get into an elevator full of people. They're all just staring at the door. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. And I strike up a conversation.
I can hear the
eyes rolling.
I'm the same way.
You know, but I get energy from that sort of experience. So
my wife's like, why do you have to say hi to everybody? I'm like, well, you know,
Now, see,
being nice.
See, Mark, I'll say this. At work, I'd love you. Because if I know that there's somebody
here. I can take
here,
all the pressure off of you, man.
They need to be told something, like right now. Where's Mark? Bring Mark over. Mark will tell them how it is. Because Mark tells the people how everything is. Because that's Mark. I know. It's just not me. I'm the guy you send somebody around where he's harmless. He won't break anything with speed. Just go
say. So, you know, we were having, I don't even remember the context of the conversation, but a group of people, we were talking about personality types. And one of my friends described me better in that moment than anybody ever has. He said, while most people are avoiding the elephant in the room, Mark's fitting it for a saddle.
Yeah, and I'm grabbing my
ride that elephant.
But you asked me about the Briggs-Myers test, Eric. The main reason I don't take that test is because the professionals in the actual field say the test is not a test of your personality. It's a test of how you're feeling right now about your own personality. If you take it in 3 days, it's going to be different. 3 days after that, it's going to be a little bit different. And sooner or later, it's going to be completely different. And it's because your feelings change.
I could see that. It's just, it's not, I wouldn't put any merit behind it. I wouldn't base any of my life decisions on the answers that come out of it. It is neat to like know your four-letter character, and then compare that with the people in your family. You know, it's just a fun thing. More than I wouldn't put a whole lot into it.
I'm an ENFP. Anybody wondered?
I'm an EMTP.
I would be a ZZZZ because all I want to do is sleep.
All right, guys, we're closing in on an hour already. How about we empty our tanks now?
Okay. I'm going to bring this one. It's been a back-to-back, I guess, of Pac-Man games, but this one just came out. It's called Pac-Man Ralph Breaks the Maze. It's like a mashup of Pac-Man and Wreck-It Ralph. So Wreck-It Ralph is on the screen with you, and he's...
Not Bad Link.
Slacker.
Good job,
Eric. Wah, wah, wah. Here you go. That's because I was sitting there too long. I think I probably typed something in.
You were too excited. Well, here's the real question.
There you go. Sorry about that.
Do you can you tell me the other main character from that movie?
Penelope Schweetz.
Wreck-It Ralph. Well, you, sir, extra credit. Okay, take it easy there. Settle down there. Eric, can you tell me anybody else from that movie?
There's another dude in the game who has to go and fix the walls on the game that he wrecks.
Eric, I hate movies. I hate television. I won't watch any of it. It's crap. That movie was good. It's Fix It Felix.
Yep, that's it.
The game is called Fix It Felix, not Wreck-It Room. Yes, thank you. That movie, everything about that movie was so well paced in plot line and story mode and revealing and empathy. Everything in that movie was done, to me, among the best of any movie in a couple years here and there.
Here's how much I don't like movies. I've never seen it.
You're one dynamite gal. I mean, you got to check it out, Eric. Seriously. You've watched some crap, okay? Let me tell you, I love you. You watch some ridiculous crap like Pixels. Don't try to tell me you haven't. You watch Adam
never
Sandler
seen,
movies.
Never
don't
seen Pixels,
don't.
And I don't like Adam Sandler movies. I have watched them. I've seen them enough to develop an opinion.
You need to watch Wreck-It Ralph. It's actually good. It's like, to me, on the level of Shrek. It's good.
I've got, Comcast is hooking me up with HD now, so I guess I can watch it.
Yeah, you really do need to watch it. And that was one thing, honestly, I remember we were talking about years ago in Podnuts, around the time of the game show idea we kept throwing out there, was the idea of we all watch something at the same time, and we hang out, and we just talk during the movie, and we have to say pause if we've got to pause to go do something, kind of thing. But we can't broadcast a movie because, you know, Hollywood and their butt nugget heads. And we just sit there and watch the movie and, critique the movie, make fun of the movie, compliment the movie, whatever about the movie.
Could we do that to some really small independent film or something like some YouTube film that some dude like
doesn't
me?
Matter.
No, this is not a problem. You just don't have the movie in your podcast, right? And you tell people hit play now, and they watch the movie while listening to the podcast. See?
Oh, it's like the Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz scheme.
Yeah. And that's why the pause works, right? Because they can pause with you.
Well, yeah. And because look, there are certain parts about that movie I think are just some of the best animation storytelling.
Pixar doesn't make a bad movie.
Huh. I gotta I got to check it out. Maybe, I don't know.
How about Incredibles? Did you watch Incredibles maybe?
I saw one of the Incredibles at a drive-in, so barely saw it. You know, okay. I don't know if I could recite any piece of it.
Where is my super suit? I mean, the movie is just good.
Good Dinosaur was an okay movie.
Ratatouille
was an okay movie. Mm-hmm. Those are the worst movies that Pixar has made, and they're both still okay.
What was the first one you said?
The Good Dinosaur.
Never saw that either. Yeah.
Well, that was the only like certifiable flop they had, kind of thing. But yeah, this Pac-Man game, look, it's Pac-Man. You either know it or you don't. You either like it or you don't. The advantage is now Ralph comes in from one side, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, Felix is building walls on the maze as you're playing, and Wreck-It Ralph is destroying them. There's also some weird things where they add like clouds that you can hide from the ghosts in. Maybe clouds have something to do with Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know, but they're just changing the game up a little bit. My next app on my tank is called Dungeon 999. I could have swore that Door brought this, but I did not find it in the spreadsheet. It's it's kind of a door looking game. Is that a verb? Door looking, or an adjective, or adverb? Anyway,
I don't know how to take
it. It's got low quality graphics. It's got a Zelda-ish look to it. Basically, it's you and this chick, and you're fighting off little slime blobs. She's got magic. You really don't. But you basically got to keep the slime blobs from getting her. And you guys are going through 999 levels. She squirts like mana points out of her staff, and that.
Thank God you said staff.
And that's how you get to go to the next level.
Okay, and it looks like the longer you let her live, the more floors you can skip. It looks like one of the mechanics. This is similar. This is very similar to another game, but in the other game, you had no help. It was just you, and it wasn't a square. It was a circle.
Oh, okay.
So this is similar in looking, but that's what it looks like to me. The longer you let her go, the more powerful she has. It's Dungeon 999F, by the way.
Yeah, well,
Dungeon 999.
That's not the game title. That's the URL.
Right. There's two different. Games. Dungeon.
Well, the one you put a link.
The one I put a link
I
to.
Click it.
How much is it free?
It even has an F at the end.
But not at the top
at the
of
link.
The.
But look. The thing. But look at the Google Play Store. It's Dungeon 999. Now there is also this one's not free though, right?
It's 99 cents.
Okay. The Dungeon 999F is free.
So, I knew, but then this is a really bad link. This is like a misleading,
it's weird,
troll-like link.
I don't understand either, but...
They put the video and the graphics of the free one, the F, must be for free.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the difference. I didn't try the 9999F. I bought this one for... Well, actually, I didn't buy it because it was on sale.
It's F free in the URL and not just F.
No, it's just F.
Oh, okay.
Show title, by the way. The F must be for free. You write that down.
It's by Moon TM, trademark of a moon, I guess. And they've got other classics like 999.
So this is 99 cents. Does still have in-app purchases, though. And ads.
Yeah, I guess there's an... And I guess in the in-app purchases has to do with an auto-fire mechanic to it. And a lot of people were complaining about ads. I mean, the ads were just a very small bar at the bottom for me. So it wasn't too intrusive compared to some of these.
It's the Hulu
apps.
Model. We make you pay for it, and we show you ads.
Yep.
And it literally says in the description, cheaper than a McDouble cheeseburger.
Which leads me to my next app.
I think they're right. Okay.
Yeah, McDouble is $2.30-something now. Or $1.30-something now. I just ordered a couple of them the other day. This is called Burger the Game. It is a single-tap kind of timing game. But it's just, is there a video in this ad? Yeah, there's a video. In the video, you can kind of see that there's half of a cow, and when you trigger the game to start, a piece of the cow falls off, which is instantly turns a burger that lands on your skillet that you then have to flip onto a bun that some random person's just holding next to you. And the game model, you know, basically you got to see how many burger patties you can stack on that bun without having them fall off.
This does not look easy.
It's not too bad. My first once you get the first burger on there, it's not so bad. It's hard to get the first one
it's
going.
It's like that game where you
my
tap
first time,
to build
though,
the pyramid, right? Pretty much the same gameplay as that. you know, where the things come in from the side and you tap it and it builds the pyramid.
Yeah, sort of, but you can stop the pan like from moving. You can just for a tapping game, you do actually do have a lot of control over how the burger's going to flip over onto the bun. I got four though. I got up to four my first.
You got four?
My first time I got one, I ended up getting four. I haven't been able to repeat that since.
Oh yeah, okay. I the video just loaded for me, and now I get it. So as soon as one falls off, your turn is over, right?
Yep.
Yes.
It gives you like a classy little.
I like the fact that the cow grows back creation. Every time a slice is cut out of him. So it's a humane thing. You know, he's a regenerative cow.
It looks like, I guess, that maybe as you go into layers and levels of this, you get a chicken, and I don't know what, there's some kind of a silver thing.
Onion?
I don't know what it is.
Slice of onion?
Rhinoceros. Oh, it's a robot. It looks like a robot face.
Alrighty.
So you're eating robot burgers.
Okay, yeah, sure. Easter Island.
Okay, that's it for my tank. Should I wait for hardware news until after Door's tank then?
We can go right there.
If you want to be an epic mini-series event, sure, we'll do that.
Okay, I am.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
The apps I have aren't important, aren't time-sensitive.
Speaking of time-sensitive, my hardware news today is going to be the watch that I've ordered. I haven't got it yet. It's a ZTE Quartz smartwatch. I don't know if you guys have had any experience with a smartwatch yet. My LG G watch, which... was given to me by a listener of the show a long time ago, has finally stopped charging, and it wouldn't update to Wear OS either. So this will be my next wearable. It's a brand new out of the box. It was under $200. I'm ordering a refurbished one on eBay for $50.
So what made you decide on that particular one?
So
the price. It does not have a heart rate monitor, which I don't know if I need. I'm really not sure on the accuracy of heart rate monitors anyway. I've heard a lot of people say that they're really just foo. You know, they're not too accurate, but I don't have heart rate issues to really monitor anyway at this point, so I don't need it.
Well, yeah. The only doctor stuff I heard in regards to that kind of monitor is technically consistency is what he cared about. If it's inaccurate, is it consistently inaccurate? In the same fashion? Is it always a little bit slower, always a little bit fast? If it is, it ain't that bad. But it's when it's not consistent is when it can give damaging or potentially damaging.
I feel the same way about steps trackers. It doesn't matter how accurate it is as long as it's consistently whatever it is.
Yeah. I think if I had this like weird, you know, pulsation feeling in my chest every now and then, or I got like really super hot or my face turned red a lot or something, then I may want to look at that, you know, but... Yeah, right now we're okay. And this one will upgrade to Wear OS 2, which is what just came out last week. And I'm kind of excited to check out what that has to, you know, show.
So really quick, Mark, do you know how many milliamp hours your watch is? Because this thing is only 500 milliamp, which to me sounds really
big. They said 500 is pretty big for a watch, from what I've read.
That's, you know, I was trying to think of some kind of sexual comment there, like, you know, whatever. That's what they all say, something I don't know about it being adequate size. Sure. Yeah, sure, it's big. Do you know how many milliamp battery
do
not. Yours is?
I'm trying to do some quick Googleizing to see here. 300 milliamps.
Better.
Oh, so, wow.
So, okay. Better, yeah. What does the PicWatch Pro for a PicWatch Pro? Yeah, that's the one we really got to compare everything to, because that's Mark's next watch.
Well, and it has 4 gigabytes. No, 768 RAM, 4 gigabytes of ROM, so hard drive. It does say GSM Edge, HSPCA. So this has its own
SIM card
connectivity.
I won't be, but
I was going to say what do you extra would you get out of it? Maybe you could text message to or from.
You could make phone calls without your phone.
I didn't see any mention of microphones or speakers in the specifications.
No, all the newer watches do have microphones and speakers built in it. My wife's got a Huawei watch that she can do an entire phone call just tethered to her phone if her phone's, you know, within Bluetooth range. She doesn't even have to touch her phone. And she can answer calls without finding her phone.
Yeah, and it's IP67 ingress protection.
That's sort of waterproof and dustproof.
Sort of? Yeah.
The TicWatch Pro only has a 415 mega amp hour battery, and it's IP67.
It will take years, like 3 years of you doing really crazy stuff in my experience to get it damaged from the inside. It looks fine.
The LG G watch, one thing I have to say for that watch, I've banged it on, you know, the every door that I walk through on desks.
You banged it on every door.
I'm clumsy. I really don't, care for it at all on my wrist, and it has not a scratch on it. I'm just so surprised how well it's held up in that respect.
I'm actually now seeing conflicting reports between 300 milliamp hours and 400 milliamp hours, but either way, it's less than his 500. And it lasts all day. 18 hours is not a problem.
Right.
20 hours.
Yes.
See,
that will be something I am not used to on my old watch.
So how much was this again, Eric?
You can get them all day long for 50 or 60 bucks on eBay.
50 or 60 bucks ZTE quartz smartwatch. Yep. And I'm guessing it's ZTE,
the correct. Company. ZTE, the company, yeah.
Okay. You guys hear about the Bloomberg thing today? Yeah. The Chinese server motherboards? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and if you read it correctly, this was actually like 3 years ago. This is almost like a Snowden-level thing of this is old news from the people from the inside. And at two guys I know, one of them told me today, yeah, I was trying to tell you this kind of thing like 2 years ago when I was first made aware of it. You know, this is not good. It isn't as bad as it could be, but it's not good that there are these literally rice-sized chips that are really hard to even see that they put on a certain class of motherboard that's in big data centers owned by like Amazon and Google and stuff, where this chip is, where it can potentially give command control over to somebody else.
Oh, that's its whole job is to just sideline administrative rights?
That's what they believe. That's what everyone believes. Hmm. But it's never been like switched on that we know of. It's never been utilized that we know of. It's never been taken advantage of that we know of. It's something that was not on the specifications to the motherboard. It's there. And they're trying to look at it and evaluate what it is.
You have to imagine that if America ever made anything anymore, that and we were exporting it to other countries, we would totally put those chips in everything we exported. Yeah.
Totally. Are you kidding? They would be little microscopic red, white, and blue color. We'd be so proud of
it. I can't even be a little bit surprised that a nation state as paranoid as China is putting that in the products that are shipped to their largest nemesis in the world. I mean, surprise.
So what you're saying is trust the ZTE Quartz smartwatch every bit as I trust with every Google product.
It doesn't matter what you purchase. The components were made in China. So
true.
Well, I know. Here's the gimmick, Eric. You have to take the global amount of data, put it on a chart, the endpoints, where they want it, where it is right now. And what you come across is like a funnel. And what every company thing that survives, they do stuff economically, efficiently. So they want to find the narrowest point where as much of this information goes through as possible. It is not your watch. Yeah. That's one of the most expensive places to put tracking type software on it. It's up towards the infrastructure.
The $30 routers.
Those Cisco routers are prize targets. Prize targets, I tell you.
Well, I don't even think so. You know, the Amazon $30 weird named routers.
Was it Mariah botnet who was out maybe 4 months ago where he looked at there was at least like 350 million infected routers worldwide because of some public facing exploit left in from the factory, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
So let me read our last email from the night from Chuck. He says, this is a very brief endorsement of the 10-inch Lenovo Smart Display. Got mine from Costco online for $200. It's a great addition to my kitchen in my 1974-built home that keeps getting smarter. Are we teaching our old home to do new tricks? The innovations we have the opportunity to enjoy are wonderful. What were we doing just 10 years ago? Thanks again, especially to Mark, for keeping the ship on course. Chuck from Salem, Oregon.
Chuck knows.
So he's got a touch screen?
It's a smart display. It's a TV. Smart display.
Oh, smart display. Yeah. Okay.
$200, 10-inch. You know, probably has Roku and stuff in it.
10-inch.
Right.
Tablet.
Yeah, I heard modestly good things about that. But here's the thing. I'm gonna try to do a video here before the next week, guys. Seriously. Try to do a video where I go through a piece of Google that I don't believe a lot of people actually know about that's on your devices inside of Google Assistant, where there's actually some pretty advanced things you can do and manage. And the thing is, they affect your Google Homes you have in the house as well, or other Google Smart appliances in the area you can have some control over too. It's actually pretty interesting is what I want to say. There's a Google Hub on the horizon that's going to try to like offload some of this stuff up there. The idea of a centralized, managed, controlled, gatewayed hub in the house is not a dream that's forgotten about, but it's going to happen. And Google's already started some of it, is what I'm going to say. And I did kill the speaker on my phone now, so it's even closer to death. Dramatic, what was it, Mark? Dramatic, painful death.
So how did you kill the speaker? I mean, did you stab it with fire or something? How do you kill a speaker inside a phone?
Too much bass. He's hip-hop.
I'll tell you guys the truth because I love you. I said, okay, Schmoogle. And I wanted to look up Mission Barbecue menu for my son. My youngest son tried to tell me they have burgers. They don't have burgers there. It's Mission Barbecue. They have pit beef, pit turkey, pit ham. Then I'm thinking maybe on their kids' menu they might have burgers. But I wasn't going to admit that to them. So they don't have burgers. So then I literally tried five times back to back to say into the Google Assistant, you know, show me the menu because I want to see it as well. So I do it on my phone. Every time it tells me I cannot do that when the device is locked. I cannot do that when the device is locked. It's when the device is not locked. Durr! So I kind of put the phone down quite evenly on a countertop. And then when I started doing other things because I had to, you know, take care of the family. And I looked at the phone and it rebooted.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, that can't be good. So then I just finished what I'm doing. Then when I go and I try to check out my phone, like the assistant button now. That is supposed to sound like that. Yeah, that's bad.
Wow. It reminds me of those commercials. I don't know if you get them, if it's Verizon or U.S. Cellular or something. It's like, oh, I lost my phone or I dropped, you know, they leave it in a taxi cab on purpose so they can get a new one. You know, door does, oh, I slammed it too hard and it rebooted. I guess I got door. But you reminded me of this app that I had to bring to this show.
We got it in the show.
I know, but I hated this app so bad I had to uninstall it. But it could be super useful for somebody else. It's called Voice Access Beta from Google. You were talking about Google Assistant. Did you try this?
No. This has been on my
radar.
Yeah, but I don't want to use an insensitive comment like it's been in my scope. I've been looking at that. You know,
it's,
this is a
scope
app that might be literally revolutionary for people who need assistive technology.
Right.
But yes. Okay. You have to first learn how to use it, or else I'm sure you won't.
I tried to use it. But after my test, I can only say, and I tried to keep it installed to the point where I could bring it to the show tonight, but I just couldn't. It is so intrusive and so overwhelming of your phone. This is great for somebody who has no fingers or any kind of way that they can't use their fingers.
Well, okay. Podcast I listen to, Android Developers Backstage. It's literally Android developers. All these stupid people out here talking about what journalists are saying. Listen to the people who are doing the actual development. Their assistive technology is in such a way that literally the people doing the programming on this literally like have kids with disabilities. They have incentive to make this work right. Okay. The hardest thing to do is to immediately determine which technology is assistive and which is inhibitive, depending on your disability. Mm. There is no one magic way to design thing to make it perfect for everyone with every disability is what they said. And they are absolutely right. And they said it is very critical that we have to offer the right technology to help the most people in the beginning. The goal is to help everybody. Yes. But we have to first just help the majority of people out there. And the majority of people out there have vision issues. And
see, you have to have good vision for this app, but no touch.
There are ways to where you can
do the quadriplegic
in the app.
This is useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, go all for them. Great. Is this not an app for us? This is an app. Hopefully they will keep doing better.
No, I just wanted to bring it to the show. So somebody might know somebody who needs or would.
Oh, even better. Email Google. Tell them to take people off of YouTube. Off the back end to keeping YouTube up and running. We don't need that much anymore. Have people come over and work on the assistive technology in Android. It'll help far more.
Yeah. right?
One of the reviews here says this app requires cell phones accessibility permissions. That's okay, but one of the permissions is that this app is able to read, record a typed screen on any screen, including credit card number, CVV, and passwords. And then he goes on, Google team, please put some light on this.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to use your voice to type, you must be able to record everything you type. I don't know why this is even a concern, but it is for this guy.
Yeah, I just uninstalled it yesterday because I couldn't get to the show with it, but I wanted to bring it while I remembered it before I forgot it. You know what I mean? So if it's off my phone, a lot of times I'll forget about the app. So that's why.
It has a use, and yes, it has to access everything. Mm-hmm. This is the thing, like all the password managers out there that aren't LastPass, I'm never going to use because you have to use the clipboard for it, which means if I'm a bad guy, all I got to do is monitor the clipboard. I have everything. I have all your gold, all your booty, all your bounty, all your diamonds, all your gems, all your children, everything you've ever done that's shameful. I have access to it if all I can get is the clipboard. So I'm not going to use one of those password managers like that. So I have to use password managers that use this type of technology. So it doesn't use the clipboard. It's called low-hanging fruit, bro. If you don't want disabled people to be able to use credit cards, I don't know what to tell you. Or if you don't want them to be able to use passwords, you obviously don't understand how computers work. So Google should highlight that and make a YouTube video about how stupid people are. Yeah, because that was really stupid of that guy. Really, really stupid of that guy. Handicapped people need stuff. And out of 300 million people, over 75 million people in the U.S. can right now take
advantage. I'm going to back off a little bit. It wasn't stupid. It was thoughtless. He just didn't consider the fact that if you want to do online shopping, your app has to be able to read credit cards. And props to Google for putting that right out there front and center. We are giving us access to everything.
True.
Well, and that's the thing. Google still hasn't really had a breach. Facebook, 50 million. Oh, wait, no, 90 million. 90 million. And they said that they don't believe they were doing anything bad with the accounts. Oh, I'm sure they just wanted to get everyone's addresses so they could send them flowers. Dumbasses. And then Instagram, for no reason, goes down for an hour. Oh, we have no idea why. Oh, I know why. Because you're hacked. You're hacked because you suck. Google hasn't been hacked.
Experian and leak the data of every U.S. citizen.
And then get a $400 million contract 3 weeks later from the government. And congratulations on
Experian, who leaked all that information, who the people who got leaked
Equifax.
Did not want to be a part of, but are forced to.
Never opted into
the system. Exactly.
All right, let me read a few thank yous to some awesome people. Ben Lawson, Joshua Dennis, and Turnover, who all became Patreon subscribers in the last month. You guys are super awesome sauce. All right, actually, Turnover was a longer. I've had that in my inbox for a long time. Sorry about that. You are in both figurative and literal ways the engine that drives this podcast. Thank you for your stepping up and for being awesome supporters of the show. If you would like to be as awesome as Ben Lawson, as Joshua Dennis, or as Turnover, you can go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and pledge $5 a month. Honestly, I hear this from people. I can't afford $5 a month. Okay, maybe there's a very small percentage of you that can't afford $5 a month, but most of you could absolutely afford $50 a month and would never notice it. You're totally quit. You know, Eric said he bought a couple of burgers on the way over tonight. That was probably $10, right?
Not tonight.
Okay. But yeah. I know
they were McDoubles. They were $1.30 each. Right. Mark, that's $5. That's $5 though.
There you go. And I mean, I left a $20 tip to a server just today, right? I bought lunch for my team. But anyway, the point is, most of people who are listening to the show do that kind of stuff all the time. You leave a $10, $15 tip because your server did a good job. You drop $50. On a couple of pizzas and some 2 liters, but you won't pledge $5 to a show that every week brings you entertainment. Your priorities are screwed up, man. I'm just calling you out.
Well, and everyone who isn't a Patreon needs to thank people like Ben,
Joshua,
and like all of them. Yeah, thank you. And Matthew Fuzzle and everybody, because it's patrons like them where we don't sell your information. We don't sell your information to the highest bidder, a.k.a. the lowest bidder, because nobody pays much money for ads. Let's be real. Come on now. It takes tens of thousands of selling of souls to get ads right. It takes way too much. Thank them that we don't have to do that. You know, I mean, granted, we don't want to, but we don't have to because of people doing that kind of pledge. And yeah, and I'll do this. If you can't afford $5 a month, contact me. I'll help you earn more money. It ain't hard. I could easily get you $20 a month of extra pocket money. You can put in your gas tank. You can put towards gifts for your kids. You can put towards gifts for your wife. You ain't got to give me a damn penny. Okay. I'm not going to help you because you're going to help me back. No, I'm going to help you because it's the right thing to do. So if you can't afford $5 a month, seriously, contact me. We'll schedule a little sit down. We'll figure it out. There's a way you can make more money, period. You know, unless you're in a heavily controlled industrialized complex like China or something, I can help you.
I'm saying for Dor what he won't say for himself. He and I have both been doing this a long time. And, you know, there's gratification for it and there's reward for it. And we enjoy doing it. But honestly, a little money wouldn't be a bad thing. And you know, thousands of people, not hundreds, not dozens, thousands of people download this show every week and a couple of dozen make a contribution back either in money or in, content or being in the chat room. Those are all contributions, right? But that is like 0.1% of the people who listen to the show, contribute back to it in some way. That's disheartening as a content creator. That sucks the soul right out of you.
And they could have stopped the podcast by now because they already heard this at the end of the podcast shows. We're not hitting them up five times a show, and we're not throwing ads in five times a show. So, you know, thanks for holding off, you know, from the pause button if you are still here. But yeah, we could just be begging the entire show, or at least four segments of it.
Yeah, and like pitching products, we really don't understand. Oh, wait. We would probably understand. Sorry. But you have people pitching stuff like Linode, not even understanding what it actually
is. I don't understand the purple mattress.
Well, that's just brilliant marketing. That's what that is.
I think super cool, by the way. I sat on a sample of it recently. It is like,
are you down?
It's this gel stuff wrapped in foam, wrapped in a rigid honeycomb core. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced. I don't know that it's worth the money, but it's super cool.
Is it still really cool after it's wrapped in foam and fabric, though?
Yeah. I mean, I was at the local Sam's, and these were like chair cushions, but it was the same company. It was the purple company. It was the same material, and I'm sure it's their idea of guerrilla marketing. It was like $35 for this chair cushion. So, you know, being the tightwad that I am, the internationally known tightwad, I'm not going to pay for that, but it did make my butt feel pretty darn good. Show title.
Were they selling like, you can buy a pillow too, right, from them?
Yes. I don't know if I'd want, it's heavy. I don't know if I'd want a pillow.
But yeah, see, we're not gonna pitch products about beds to anybody. So just.
Well, unless it's something that we genuinely like and want to
talk
about.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. If I got a free purple pillow, I'd talk about it for about a couple minutes.
Intent.
I would let you guys know that it was worth it or not to go out and buy one. And I would be honest.
I'd put it on eBay right away.
You wouldn't even lay on it once?
Don't need to.
Well, you
I got no problem sleeping. I close my eyes and go to sleep.
I don't have that, but...
Well, I'm about 90 seconds from closing my eyes and going to sleep if we don't have the show.
Thank you for sticking with us, Mark. This is a long show tonight. I appreciate you.
So, Dor, I stepped all over your pledge for Patreon. I'm going to just, to the audience, if you're still hanging with us, Dor didn't know I was going to do that. He didn't ask me to do that. This is me being passionate about a guy I love. That's all that is. When I'm telling you that you need to give money, it's because I truly love and respect this guy, and I want him to be rewarded for his almost a decade of hard work. Now, Eric, any final words for the night?
No, I'd like the chat room to be more full also on Thursday nights and help us out with some show titles. The ones who are there will probably help us out. But the rest of you guys probably had a great show title for this episode. And if you were here, you could share that and we could make it happen.
All right, Dor, take us out.
Thank everyone for their love. Thank everyone for their patience. Do not forget, everyone around you is stupid. And you are too sometimes.
That's something that we say to my children all the time. It's like, everybody's stupid. Sometimes it's your turn. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. Just means it was your turn. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us for this really long show. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week. That's it for this episode of Android App Addicts. And remember, pay for what you like. Dang it.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.